as yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
And today, who's been sleeping with Pauline Hanson now and which national radio show does he panel?
I wonder. Hunt for the nude voyeur. We lift the lid on it.
Midget criminals on the loose, getting around under the radar. We attempt to tackle them.
Got a stash, need to hide it? Get a child.
Irritating noises to drive young people away from shopping centres. What about the oldies? What noises send them packing?
Dobbing a hippie.
Okay, where's the Virgin Mary popped up now? Twister Nightclub, Wet and Wild, Coogee Bay Hotel, plenty of possibilities.
We're going to blow the lid off another TV Week letters scandal.
And have you been tricked into going on holiday mistake? And which soap opera plot lines need to be dusted off? Kathy Godbold will be here to help us with that one. It's all coming up on Get This, where we've got a brand new prize pack, including
a freshwater crocodile, a python, and several types of lizards.
That's working class, man. Bit of heritage gear here at Triple M around the nation. It's Get This, by the way, in case you're wondering. Good morning, everybody. I'd be Tony Martin. Ed Cavalli's here.
Yes.
And Richard Marsden is pushing buttons in a Sticky Fingers t-shirt.
My favourite t-shirt of yours, Rich.
Really? You like this one?
Yep.
It's actually one of those vintage ones that they re-release. You know how most vintage shirts don't have the word vintage on them?
No.
You know how they re-release
those
old-looking T-shirts and they say Revival?
Yeah. So that's a re-release.
Yeah, it is, but it's a good one.
But you've got the album?
It's a classic album. No, I don't have... Oh, I have the... I have it on CD. I don't have it.
You've got it because I've got the remastered one.
It's good stuff.
Where they've tried to do the zip on the CD.
Yeah.
It's just... It's irregular. It doesn't fit on the shelf with the others. It has to go and stand in the corner. It's an irregular CD.
Think about itself.
Why doesn't your T-shirt have a real zip on the front? See if you were really serious about the stones, it would.
It should do. I know. But I know that if you have the Warhol designed LP with the zip on it, it's worth thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to remember to leave it zipped up, though. Don't leave it tackle out around the house.
It's like the picture disc of My Sex Blue Day.
How much is that worth? How much is that going for?
My Sex
Blue Day. Yeah.
What?
I was being sarcastic.
About
$250.
Because I know you are a big My Sex fan.
I do like My Sex.
I know that you like to laugh like this. People laugh. That's how that guy used to actually laugh.
No, he didn't. He put it on for the disc. Can't get me with that.
You know, it's odd that Richard Marsden, our panel operator, is wearing the Sticky Fingers t-shirt today.
Isn't it?
Did you guys see Current Affair last night?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Did you tape it?
Why have you been keeping that from us?
Well, I didn't want you to mention it. I mean, I thought we could just sweep it under the rug.
And how long were you sleeping with Pauline Hanson, Richard Marsland?
We were on
not each
and
time
off.
In like over all the affair.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, well, things got hot and heavy for about 3 weeks, and then it tapered off.
Oh, people think we're making this up. They think, it's just another sketch on Get This.
No.
Listen to this.
She's claiming
Richard
and her had a thing that started in this Canberra motel in 1996 and burnt for 2 weeks.
Burnt is right. I had smoke coming out of my underpants for days. We had to take the smoke detectors out of the room. Not that there was any. It was a Canberra motel room after all.
So you can say categorically you never had sex with Pauline Hanson?
I'm not saying anything of the sort. She was hot. And the constant undercurrent of racism just added fuel to the fire.
I can't understand why he would be so aggressive in his denial of something that I believe and many other people believe happened.
I'm not denying it. She's the hottest bigot I've ever bunked. So
this is what they said on 60 Minutes.
My private life is my private life.
Oh, leave it out, Pauline. It wasn't that private when we were doing it short bus style over the salad bar at that Canberra knocking shop.
Now, she not only names the motel and the month it started, she even claims he cooked her dinner there, though the menu is unclear.
I'll tell you what was on the menu. One Nation tale. Three courses, each one steamier than the one before.
I have absolutely no doubt that
Richard
and Pauline had a sexual relationship.
Of course we did. Look at this. Talk about worn out. I'll never be able to teabag again.
And I saw him give her quite a serious kiss when she stepped out of an elevator.
Look, she didn't require a please explain when I suggested going down.
They disappeared and I didn't see him again for 40 or 50 minutes. In fact, I'd gone to sleep in the car while I was waiting for him to come back.
I had a lot to do. It takes quite a while to go round the grounds with Pauline. I mean, she's constantly stopping to bag out the Asians.
Don't worry, Pauline. I won't go blabbing to the press with any fire crotch talk.
I'm not worried about anything.
Her suggestion is that they slept together
together on what was essentially a first date. So, yeah, very poor form and really a bad reflection on her, I think.
Hey, don't blame Pauline. How could she resist my Pavement T-shirt and collection of Matthew McConaughey movies?
We'll have to wait for the book launch to get Pauline's responses, but we did conduct a straw poll today to see who you believe is gospel and who's telling porkies.
I believe in Pauline Hanson more so than...
Richard Marsland.
I don't like Pauline much, so I'd go for...
Marsland.
If you slept with her, would you deny it? I would. I believe her.
Is it true Richard Marsland offered to demonstrate the Turkish grip?
Please explain.
Hey, look, the only way to settle this is with a lie detector, okay? Although she didn't have any trouble detecting me lying beneath her with my...
What is it with lie detectors lately? Howard Gipps with that report.
Oh, look!
It's an expose. Wow.
The hottest bigot you've ever boned.
Yeah.
Who was second?
Point. Who was it?
Gerard Henderson. No! We deny that categorically.
Bruce Ruxton. Rich, you're never going to be able to teabag again.
I know.
The dream is over.
I know. I can't do it. Can't be. No more braining. No more trombone.
Friday night to Sunday afternoon is going to be empty. empty.
No more trombone, did you say? No more dunking.
No more rainbow cocktails.
Oh, it's too early for this sort of confusing talk. We've got more important matters to get to. I'm sure we have somewhere on Get This. Ah, thank you very much, Cold Frey, as Ed calls them, with How to Save a Life.
How to Shave a Lion.
Let's get straight into some Crime Watch.
Requesting roadblocks at every exit.
How about signing up with the chips, huh?
And how about telling me what that clip's from, huh? What is it?
Chips!
Yeah, well...
That was two motorcycle cops.
Yep.
Eric Estrada and the other bloke, as I think he was listed in the credits.
Yeah.
Every episode would begin with a truck on the freeway with badly secured stuff on the back.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of boxes, usually just cardboard boxes.
Yeah. Empty cardboard box deliveries.
Chaos ensues. Top hour of telly. But awesome. Here we are at Crime Watch, in case you just joined us. Mm. Richard Marsland has been talking about his sexual relationship with Pauline Hanson.
Plainly has been, evasive under questioning. I don't think there's much plausibility to his story, which seems to be unravelling as more comes out.
That's jealous.
Thank you, Tony Abbott. But what big crime is there out there, Ed?
Listen, Tone.
Yes?
Hunt for nude voyeur.
Oh, yeah. Voyeur.
Yeah. Best kind. Is there any other kind? A man caught peeping through a woman's bedroom window in such and such was naked from the waist down, police say.
Right.
The woman heard noises from outside her something-something about from about 10 p.m. on Wednesday night. Mm. Here we go. Now,
whereabouts was this?
Some place I've never heard of. Kurotila Park or something.
Okay.
He was described, and here's the thing. We're going to try and see if we can work out who this is. He was described as Caucasian with a fat stomach.
Oh,
okay.
Who could it be? Oh.
That's unfair. What's more unfair is
I don't think... You're saying Kim Beazley's got a new...
He's grassroots, you know what I mean? He's making his way back one person at a time. He's in the yard until about 10 p.m. every night, different house, yeah. Just making noises like, you should... Why doesn't Kim Beazley get back into politics? Hey?
But why no pants for that? Oh, it's just like...
Gets you better press.
Sweetening the pot.
It was hot. It was hot out.
So you look out, you go, yeah, he's... Okay, yeah, I'm not Kim Beazley coming back. Because he may... I think we need to get back behind the Kim Beazley card.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty much sick of Rudd, and as we've proved time and time again, he's a murderer.
And he's got killer wasps circling pretty much every building in Australia.
Yeah.
Armies of orcs.
Armies of orcs and the army of the undead. He's now...
Breaking babies.
Animating them. I mean, this is all from Peter Costello.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm willing to believe it.
Compelling stuff, so bring back a pantsless Kim Beazley going door to door.
Window to window. At night.
Spreading the love around. Okay. Any crime from you, Mr. Marsland?
Did you come across this guy who stole all these lizards?
Oh, yeah, that was big news.
And the crocodile and a few pythons and what have you. Mm. I'm not sure the exact nuts and bolts of the story, but they arrested him. He was sort of slumped over the wheel of a car with all the lizards and everything roaming around inside.
Yeah. On the source?
I don't know exactly what happened, but what I find interesting is what the media have done with the reptiles in question and the cops who found the reptiles in the car.
Oh, yeah.
They've got them to pose with, like, these pink tongue lizards and these really rare pink tongue lizards and blueies and stumpy tails and a freshwater crocodile.
Yeah.
And, like, some of the cops you can see are just not into snakes crawling over their ears.
No.
At nighttime on the news.
So wait a second. So they've got they've busted them, and then the cops have to pose with them, Robson style, all over them.
That's what it is. It's a Steve Irwin tribute. Because I think actually they do come from one of his his auxiliary parks, possibly.
I had a friend that tried to buy a macaw. It's highly illegal. He got busted in a sting because he met someone overseas that said he could get him a macaw for $10,000.
Wow.
And when he went to go to the pickup point, it was just an undercover policeman saying, all right, you, there's no macaw.
Oh, it's another one
on your way, son.
Fauna squad.
Yeah.
Got to watch out. So you got a lot of cops posing like they're Tara Moss on the front of her new book.
And the headlines have been great too.
What do you got?
Police in snappy arrest.
Of course.
In cold blood.
Police put the bite on crime.
It's all that stuff.
Yeah.
What's that whistling noise?
I don't know what that was.
No, that was okay. I thought I found something, but I didn't. It's okay.
Who was whistling?
No, I'm having sex with Pauline Hanson at the moment.
Of course you are.
I'm a bit distracted.
When are you not? Here's a big story out of Kuala Lumpur. Police have detained an 8-member group of small robbers dubbed the Midget Gang.
That's unfair.
Who allegedly confessed to committing 14 break-ins over the last 3 months.
Really?
Yeah, after a series of reported thefts from low shelves across the city. The hall contained no fine whiskies. I'm sorry. All the gang members were diminutive. The Star newspaper reported yesterday without saying whether they were dwarves or just unusually small. The gang members confessed to their crimes when they were detained, according to the report. Can you imagine the police lineup for that? A whole lot of midgets, some people just crouching, Grant Denyer, all there. The arrests came about when residents in a housing area alerted police after noticing midgets loitering suspiciously in a field near their homes.
In a field?
Now, if you saw 8 midgets loitering in a field, would you immediately conclude criminal gang?
Yes.
Well, I thought maybe a tornado had lifted up my house and deposited it in the magical land of Oz.
You wouldn't think that. You wouldn't think lowlife immediately.
Why?
You'd think it was some sort of forced perspective trick, is what you would think. What's going on out there?
Gondry's been at the controls around here.
It's a Gondry fest.
Dear.
That'll be a great court case, though. You know, will they have to get a midget jury to ensure a fair trial? You know, when they get sentenced, how hard would it be to resist, you know, the 8 midgets all just singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to jail we go, as they exit the courtroom? How could you resist doing that?
Well, you shouldn't resist it. Why should you?
Richard Marsland is putting a snake on in preparation for an exciting new segment next on Get This. It's Ice House, Electric Blue.
Coincidence between that song, the title of that song, and the series of adult films?
Oh, I'm sure this...
Coincidence?
No connection. They made the transfer to DVD, the Electric Blue series.
No, we had them at the video store. They went up to 40-something. Yeah. It's a pretty long-running serial, and they give Seagal a run for his money.
I've never seen one.
Yes, you have.
You're listening to Get This around the nation on Triple, and we've had so many calls during Electric Blue to play a bit more of the Kim Beazley theme. People miss him.
Get away from the window, Kim.
They miss the theme.
Put some pants on. Lisa Sarong.
Chris Yates has emailed to say we cannot lose Kim Beazley as the leader of the opposition.
Well, yeah.
Because we're going to lose the Kim Beazley theme music and his endless discussions of cheese. Leave a cultural gap that will not be easily filled. I believe that you people have a social contract with your listeners to make sure that Kim Beazley stays on as leader. So, you know. I mean, Rudd, it's not really working out with Kevin Rudd, is it? I mean,
not as far as I can tell.
This bloke here,
knowing nothing about it.
Chris Yates has been arguing with people at his work as to whether Rudd is a toff or a poof.
Ah, well.
We've decided he is, in fact, an amalgam known as a toff. Feel free to use this term at your pleasure. Thank you, Chris Yates.
Thanks, Yates. I need more information.
No, I know what he means. Beazley was a gold mine. He was such a gold mine that we had our old prospector voices on. And we're banging some
ding, ding.
Pots and pans.
Time for the dance.
Have we got any of Will Ferrell as old prospector Gus Chiggins?
Old Gus doesn't know about book reading or how to eat in a fancy restaurant. Oh, heck. I've been called dirty, lazy, smelly, shifty, kooky, spooky and Chinese.
What was that, prospector humor?
I love a wacky old prospector.
Shifty.
We need our own wacky old prospector on this show.
Good me reiki.
Okay, moving on. Other emails we've received. Listen to this. How closely do our... You know, you say stuff on this show and you think nobody will know what I'm talking about. No. We're losing listeners by even mentioning that. Nick Oliver has emailed in to say, hi there, g'day, this g'day team.
Oh, okay.
Did you notice those two g'days were exactly the same? It's time to give Peter Russell Clark a little more sizzle. Like you, Tony, my brother and I used to rewind to the start of Come and Get It to see if it was, in fact, the same g'day used twice. The result, inconclusive. I believe a team of NASA scientists are working on it as we speak.
Is that
right? Yeah, isn't that interesting? Mm. With Peter, g'day. Russell, g'day. Clark, I think it was the same g'day twice.
I think it was the same g'day twice.
In the closing credits, he said, see you later. Yeah. At the end, remember that?
Right, yeah.
What, instead of a third g'day?
Yeah. Peter, g'day. Russell, g'day. See you later.
Yeah. We had Simon Pegg on the show the other day, and he was saying that Kiefer Sutherland at the start of 24
should do that.
He does. He just goes, the following takes place between. He just does that once, and then he just lists them all. 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and then they have to edit it.
Yeah.
He can't be bothered saying that whole sentence 24 times.
No, well, that's fair enough.
Maybe he did in the first couple of series, then his agent would have crunched them.
Stepped in.
That's all he did in Phone Booth. You know, in Phone Booth, he plays a sniper. But you never see him until the last scene of the film, and the whole film is just him doing voiceover. So clearly, he was doing the 24 thing, and then on the same day, I'll just crank out this Joel Schumacher film.
At lunch.
Yeah.
At lunchtime.
Absolutely.
Listen to this. Nick Oliver also says, by the way, I can only hear the podcast because I think he might be listening in WA. Is there going to be any contact with the second delivery man at his health camp? He's talking about Greg Fleet and rehab.
Down into meat.
I don't think they are, you know, we can't just call in.
No.
I don't think.
I don't think they've got a studio. No. I don't think he can ring in and do it down the line.
Do
can
a
he?
Segment.
Yeah. But I'm sure he's doing well.
The second he escapes from that rehab centre, we will have him on the show.
We've got a bus waiting for him out the front. Straight in here.
Other emails. Jules wonders if I need a babysitter for my dog, B.
Why would you need that, Tony?
Oh, because his son just loves Labradors and would come in and you know, do a bit of chasing the ball around, this sort of gear. My son cares more for your dog than you, says Jules.
Well, that may well be true, because someone on the old MySpace said that doesn't Tony know that grapes can be toxic to dogs?
Really?
So you might be...
poisoning my dog, and yet a lot of the training has been achieved. I've taught her to climb a ladder by the use of grapes. Toxic.
Clean out the gutters.
Because I know chocolate is toxic for dogs. Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it's just like an iron incinerator, the stomach of the Labrador. It can eat like the bumper off your car and not really care. Anything's a snack. It's like a nuclear reactor in there. Nothing
feels. I know how she feels.
And in case my dog is listening, our great new segment in the next hour, Schmacko or Snossage, coming up. I know she loves it when we play that. Trying to guess what the secret sound is. So Schmacko is a Snossage. And another important issue is young people, old people. Oh, the wars go on in England.
Who's winning?
Well, this whole mosquito thing, do they have that at your local shops?
Yes, this is the, I'll let you explain.
Well, it's a high-pitched sound that only people under 25 can hear. Does that mean you've just lost that sound ear?
Well, yeah, is that what this segment's about? You guys are the deafest people I know. The headphones in this studio.
Yeah.
It's like an air raid siren, you know?
But we don't have radio has individual.
Anyway, so what is it? It's
the most common sight of guests coming in here is putting on the headphones and going, oh my God! Just taking them off.
So it's a sound that people only under the age of 25 can hear.
That's right. And in England, they project this sound outside shops and,
to keep kiddies away.
To keep kiddies away. Because the kiddies can hear it, the old people can't.
That's amazing.
Yeah. My local shop is keeping me at bay with Lips of an Angel just constantly playing. But that's interesting, isn't it? Although some shopping centres will play a sound that only old people can hear. Do you know what that sound is? No one under the age of 25 can hear that.
Mother and son theme.
That's it. There's just all they're hearing is silence, the under 25s right now. Wow. What is a sound that only old people can hear? Kids stealing fruit. That was one that we could never hear it, but my grand could hear it from 10 blocks away.
Kids walking on the lawn.
That's true.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of sounds that only people under the age of 25 can hear, like the jokes of Rob Schneider or the music of Lily Allen. I don't know.
Lily Allen. Hello to all the Tool fans out there that I saw throwing full cans of booze at Lily Allen at the big day out.
Oh, well, that's not right.
It was meant as a compliment.
It was, geez, it was close. They hit one of the horn players. I cheered a bit, but I love Lily Allen. But there's something beautiful about a musician being hit by a full can of something at a concert.
Mm. Now, she was very entertaining, but you do have to be of a certain age to enjoy.
12.
Yeah, Lily Allen.
Okay. I mean,
it was a good show, though.
Yeah. Who have you thrown something at and did you hit him? That's what we're doing next on Get This.
Get This.
It's just a load of bollocks. It is an absolute load of bollocks.
Brought to you by Claire Bear and Nico. Back to bed, guys.
Let's get this around the nation. Flora has called to say the dogs can eat grapes, but you've got to peel them first. Well, that's not going to happen.
Oh, Flora. Come on, Flora.
Too big a project. The dog will be sitting there. Come on the chaise lounge. Faster.
Flora.
Jan, who's Flora. French, has emailed.
What?
No, he's called in to say that he threw
who's
eggs.
Jan?
And tomato. Or I'm assuming it's yarn.
Jean?
Possibly.
Huh? It's pronounced on.
Pronounce ohi ohi, as you know.
Yeah.
He likes to throw eggs and tomatoes on people on boats in Paris. We were just joking about that was the phone-in topic. What have you thrown at people?
Good on you. Oh.
It's hard to tell when we're serious.
It's hard to get a good throw when you're on the bicycle with the onions around the neck and the baguette hanging out the back with the beret on. It's
like
hard.
They all are.
It's hard to get a proper...
Yeah.
I'm sure he did it, though.
I think we're straying into accidental races. And, you know, we don't like that. So what are we having? What are we going to have some music?
Oh, yes, Tone, do you know how to play keyboard?
Oh, I don't really.
Can you just play the same four notes over and over again?
Same four notes over and over again.
Rich, could you get into some slightly Western attire? Have some slightly, not strange lyrics, but different lyrics going on throughout the next 3 and a bit minutes.
What are you going to do?
Me? I'm off. 2, 3, 4. That's good, Tone.
Yeah. Well done. Just the same thing over and over.
That'll do us. Whenever you're ready, Rich. Maybe tell us how you got to work today.
Okay.
Here's another. How's that?
I'll sing now.
Okay.
We took a back. Ah, that's Bones by The Killers here at Get This, where it's time to ascend the all-new Talkback Mountain. Oh, beautiful work. Matty D on the pots and pans under the supervision of Richard Marsland.
I'm hearing King Missile's detachable peanuts.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a bit of drum, whatever that thing is that you're playing. Ding, ding, ding.
A bit of yodeling in there.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Good work, Rich.
It's avant-garde. Really, I had nothing to do with it. I just suggested the song.
The Velvet Marsland.
Matt's been having smoke coming out of the pots today because he had less than an hour to make it sound like Richard had been sleeping with Pauline Hanson. Richard wasn't helping.
Now...
Yes, I must apologise for my performance in that.
Hey, what about holidays? Let's talk about holidays. Have you ever been tricked into going on holidays?
Yes.
Is that our topic today? How does that work?
Well, in your Something magazine this week.
Oh, I love with Something.
New right. idea, there yeah. it is. Mm. Glenn McGrath, Australian cricket star, has said that he's going to hit the road with his family. So he's got he's a fairly wealthy dude. He can go anywhere he wants.
What's he doing?
He's got a caravan. They're going to drive around Australia for a bit with the family in the back.
Oh,
right. I mean, that's a ripoff if you hit his kids. You know what I'm saying?
That's technically child abuse, I would have thought.
I can relate, because when I was a kid, it was constant. You know, I remember once my mum said, "You're going on holiday with your uncle and your auntie and your cousins." And I was like, "Yes!" And we all piled into the back of my uncle's car. And I noticed that we were going through country New South Wales, and the only things we seemed to be stopping at were car dealerships.
Oh, yeah.
And I found out years later that what they were actually doing, they were just looking for a car for my auntie. And my uncle was so obsessed with saving cash that he was convinced it was cheaper to buy one on the border of other places. So that's what we were just driving around the border looking for the cheapest possible Mitsubishi Magna.
Passing it off as a holiday.
Yeah. Wow. I was in there for 2 weeks.
What about, did you ever have to pile the whole family into a tiny caravan?
No.
And tour around so that the arguments could be contained in a much smaller space?
Soundproofed.
We were just, because we lived in Thames at the bottom of the Coromandel Peninsula in New Zealand, and we would always go to this really crappy caravan park on the other side of the peninsula, and we could tell that that's where we were going. We're going there again, aren't we? For a fight. And then one day it's, no, we're going somewhere else. And he's driven up the peninsula. Oh, we're going somewhere new. And he's driven all the way up the peninsula and around the other side and come at the caravan park from a different angle. Like that was a different holiday because we were approaching it from a different direction. And then one time we've cracked the shits about this. And he's gone, all right, we'll go to a great place. And we've gone and parked the caravan in a caravan park that was only about 10 blocks from our house. We've had a two-day holiday in our own town. Like, we could have just driven home to watch telly in about 7 minutes. Nah, this is a holiday. You complained about Pau Nui. We're not going there again. There, this is a holiday now.
That's awful.
That's pretty typical.
And really, always, I was saying, I think it was just constant, you know, girlfriends trying to get you to go on, you know, awful week-long beach holidays.
Oh, I'm not sitting on a beach.
Oh, what do you want to do? Oh, we'll just sit on the beach and what, talk?
What
sunbake?
I mean,
nothing there. There's no televisions on there. We open some cinemas on beaches, and I'm there.
I thought that that whole melanoma business finally put this going to the bed beach business to bed for once and for all. I can't even talk properly. I'm so angry.
That
caravan. Still, years later.
Yeah, the scars, the emotional scars.
Hey, you, Rich.
I have some emotional scars. Bad holidays when I was a kid. My uncle ran a sheep station, massive sheep station, thousands and thousands of acres. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Great holiday destination for a kid because we thought it would just be 2 weeks of fanging around on motorbikes. Got there, ended up being child labour work camp.
I hear you, brother.
It just happened to be shearing season.
Isn't that bizarre?
And we need a roustabout.
Yeah.
And so I had to pick up, you know, sweep out sheep.
Did you ever have to grab the balls, the discarded balls off the bulls?
There was no sheep tea bag arrangements.
Because every time you get there,
all
of a sudden the motorbikes are out of commission.
Yeah.
The horses don't want to be ridden and all this sort of stuff.
Wasn't that your first job, picking up discarded testes on a farm?
I realise it was part of a holiday now that Rich has brought it up.
But you had a special tool for it.
My hands. I call it lefty and righty.
Great fun, though.
Born with tools for that.
Okay. Have you been tricked into going on a terrible holiday? Call us now, 133353. Ah, yes, Chris Isaac. Somebody's calling or crying. I know somebody is calling today. It seems to be a topic that a lot of people can identify with. Have you tricked into being going on a shocking holiday? Who's been going first?
Hi, Manny. How are you?
Hey, God. What is it about? How are you going?
Oh, excellent. What happened?
What happened? Okay. Well, I was invited continuously year after year to my in-laws' holiday destination, which is Inverloch. You know where Inverloch is?
Yes.
And when I was 7 months pregnant, being very hormonal as you get when you're 7 months pregnant, I decided to accept this invitation and was told many times we didn't have to worry or bring anything because accommodation and everything will be taken care of. We'd have tents and beds and everything we need. We get there. Somebody else has taken the tent. They've offered it to somebody else as well, and they've taken it. And being 7 months pregnant, I ended up sleeping a few nights in the back of my four-wheel drive with no cushioning or anything else.
Oh, fantastic.
So that was a wonderful holiday for me.
Oh. Yeah, that's...
Same again next year, everybody.
Have
a newborn baby. That'd be great.
Won't be doing that one again.
Would have been described as something much better than that in the brochure, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, at least what's his name had a caravan.
That's true. McGrath. So true.
Do you think Glenn McGrath's up to something there? I mean, you know.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh.
A scam?
Yeah.
Possibly.
All right, Manny, she's in. Thanks. Hi, thank you, Manny. Hi, Michael. How are you?
How you doing, mate?
I'm excellent. What happened?
My dad used to take us to a caravan park when we were younger up in Wyong, up in the entrance. Yeah, but we found out later that he had a girlfriend which is two caravans down from us.
Oh, you're joking. He's juggling caravans.
Oh, dear.
So it's a kind of Boeing arrangement.
So you're sitting in your caravan, two caravans down, it's a rockin', and you're just wondering where Dad's hopped off to every night.
Yeah, but the thing is, he took my whole family with us.
Oh, is that right?
That's not cool.
I got two brothers, two sisters, and me.
That's not cool, Michael.
I've just got to pop next door with the ice bucket.
Yeah, dear, dear. Well, there you go. So I guess you haven't been on many caravan holidays since.
No, not since then.
Nah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for our next caller to be David Oldfield. They're on a fantastic holiday to Canberra.
Hi,
to a motel.
Hi, Leon. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Excellent. What happened?
When I was about 8 years old, we'd already been on a couple of outback holidays to the middle of nowhere, and we were told, you know, great places like White Cliffs and Broken Hill and stuff, so we were told that we were going to visit family this school holidays, and it ended up being a trek to Victoria to a place called Mount Feathertop in Victoria.
Oh.
I wasn't very impressed on the two-day hike to the top of the cabins at the mountains. And when we did finally get there, we found out that on at dusk every evening, these blowflies would come out of the bushes, which were virtually about the size of a 50-cent piece. And when they hit you, they used to leave bruises on you. I can remember going back to school and the kids thinking that my brothers had given me a good hiding because I was covered from head to toe in bruises.
This has been attacked by blowflies.
Leon.
A blowfly hailstorm.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So you get to the destination and then, you know, your mum or your dad, whoever it was who took you, said, all right, kids, pack your stuff. Only 2 days left to get where we're going, uphill.
Oh, that was common for us as kids. We were always taken into the bush.
Mount
Feathertop. I don't think I saw an amusement park till I was about 16.
It sounds so soft. Mount Feathertop.
Leon, can I suggest perhaps your parents were trying to lose you guys?
Yeah, somewhere along the line.
Look, everyone enjoys the odd Evil Dead style holiday.
Thank you.
Who's going next?
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Ed.
Good, mate. What happened?
Listen, I drive a truck for a living, right?
Yep.
And my brother lives way out the country and he's got to move house. So he wants me to spend my Easter weekend driving up there and spending 4 days moving house for him.
Oh, that old one.
That's terrible. You going to do it?
No way.
No. I know some.
It's a holiday.
There's a lot of people who do this, who combine things.
Yeah,
friend of mine.
It's a holiday because I've never been there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, heaps good. And it's probably a holiday too because you've never lifted his chest of drawers.
Yeah.
But how much fun is that?
I don't move furniture, mate. That's idiot.
Oh, wow, fair enough.
I was once invited round to the house of somebody in the original D Generation cast. And I'm going, what's he inviting me to his house for? I've never been to his house. I get round there and he's got like two truckloads of firewood he needs carrying up three stairs.
And you know, if I need firewood lifted, you're the man I'm thinking of, Martin.
Absolutely.
Twigs for arms, lifting firewood. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys going?
Excellent. What happened?
Mate, my family's got an idea that holidays aren't really holidays, they're more a working bee. And every year, every Christmas, we'd go and it'd be moving a house, it would be doing this or that. But the absolute cracker was going to my sister's place in Adelaide, and they've got all these blackberry bushes at the bottom of their garden. They thought, well, it might be a nice idea to remove all those. So they sent us down there with some shovels and some gloves. And about 4 days later, covered in cuts and cracks and everything, we'd made a small dent in it. And the next door neighbours with similar blackberry bushes just got the council to come in with a earth mover and moved them out for nothing. And, oh, mate, it was just
holiday.
An absolute nightmare.
It would be so good.
Oh.
What is it with all these working bee vacations?
I refuse to go on holidays with my family now if there's any kind of work involved.
We're going on a sightseeing bee. Vacation bee. A lot of heavy lifting. That's what you want on holiday.
That's right. You work all year and then it's time to go on a holiday and do some more work.
That's great.
Well, thank you everyone who called with
it. I'm sorry we can't get to everyone. That's beautiful.
Absolutely terrible holiday. This is the show to call. We're going to cheer things up in the next hour because Kathy Gobbold is going to be joining us. She's been in a few of them, what are they called? Soap operas. And she's just the person to throw our bad new soap opera plotline ideas because they're getting repetitive. I don't know if you've seen The Neighbours and the Home
Sick
and
of it.
New ideas. Mm. Bloke called up the other day, Neighbours versus Predator.
Awesome. That's
best idea I've heard all year.
Yep.
More of that, please, in the next hour.
Get this.
Don't think your family and friends are safe because nobody is.
Brought to you by Security Man Dan, who says vote one cavalry to be the new GE Money Genie.
Do what I want because I can. If I don't, because I want to.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
It's hour two of Get This and some fake applause for Kathy Gobbold.
What's up?
Hey, Kathy, you've done some radio, haven't you?
A long time ago. The last time was about 8-9 years ago, and it was actually at another station, but part of Stereo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I did Midnight Till Dawn.
Because
I was so popular, you know.
Who was on with you? Do you remember?
No, I don't actually, because one ended up being an ex-fiancé, so
he
doesn't deserve.
Yeah, that's break two. Awesome. I think we're discussing that in detail.
Yeah, he's coming in. It's going to be great.
God, watch for the hairy monster. Seriously.
The hairy monster!
Seriously needs, like, waxing done.
Who could that be?
Oh, God.
Oh, not that
one. That Khalid Mohammed terrorist bloke? You were married to him?
Wow, okay.
Okay, or... fiancé to him. Sorry.
No, it lasted 1 week. I don't mind.
1 week?
That's all right. Wow.
Yeah.
Had a few of those.
Fit right in. This is great.
And did you ever play Secret Sound on radio? Did you do that?
No, I didn't.
Here's
Are you allowed to now?
Well, in some parts of the country, this is the Secret Sound. What is that?
Brisbane listeners are baffled.
Yeah.
Can't work it out.
Bit of it in Melbourne overnight, but... So it's sort of rain where you look up and it's rainy. You go, great, and you look down and the ground's dry.
It's a day in Melbourne where it's really hot and then it goes, four seasons in one day.
If you're in your car, though, turn that up real loud, Richard.
Seriously?
Oh, it's a great sound in your car, isn't it?
Dry noise.
Yeah. At least we take the weather seriously. Here at Triple M. Oh, we are your early to mid-80s synth pop connection. Get this around the nation on Triple M. Flock of Seagulls, Iran. Some more applause, please, for Kathy Godbold, who's
here. Hello.
Used to do a bit of radio herself. Did you ever get into any trouble on radio? Any controversy?
Oh, no. Occasionally when I stuffed up. And I swore a few times.
Oh, really? We leave that to the listeners on this program.
Yes, we do.
No, it's not really. I didn't get in trouble.
Did you learn how to panel? Did you learn how to...
No.
Trip to Light Fantastic?
Well, this is all new, what you guys have got here.
This is new.
No.
This is, in fact, the original panel from 1980. The one next door, the mirror image of this, was the first one ever used in commercial FM radio. Mm.
Yeah. We didn't have computers.
Oh, that's true. Those have been added.
How old am I?
Well, no.
Yes, I'm just playing everything off acetate in those days. Jesus.
What about that Alan Jones? Is he in some sort of trouble? I've got to be careful.
Didn't he do his name somebody or something?
He's named somebody he shouldn't have. He's named somebody.
Who's, I think, underage. I think maybe. I'm trying to get all the details. But
Where are you trying to get them from?
From news.com.au.
Oh, good job.
looks like YouTube to me. A cat leaping backwards into a sink is not going to tell us about some judicy.
But there's a great gossip site called PerezHilton.com.
Oh, well, we think that if it's like vampires, because he's like the head of the gossip columnists, if we kill him as head vampire, will all the other gossip columnists just fade away as well?
No.
What have you been?
I will take over.
What have you been reading on there? On Perez Hilton.
Oh, he just has naughty sites, really.
Naughty
well, not
sites.
Naughty sites, but all the pictures that you can't publish in any magazine.
Yes, yes.
Just the full-on boobs and down below.
Down below?
Down below.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Bit of teabagging, bit of upskirting, something for everybody.
Didn't Nicole Kidman have to learn how to teabag for her next film?
What? Is that what's going on in Baz's latest journey?
I might go along.
Seriously.
This might be the first Nicole Kidman flick I've ever paid for.
No, actually, Kathy is onto something.
Days of Thunder 2, the teabagging era?
No, Baz Luhrmann has had Nicole Kidman castrating bulls on a farm in preparation for her new film.
She doesn't have much luck with men. or animals.
What is going to be happening in that movie?
Something good by the sound. I could get a gig. They're going to need someone to pick up the discarded testicles. I've got industry experience.
That was Ed's first job.
There it is.
It's all you.
Was that a Triple M thing? Was that
something? It's part of the Black Thunders. It's part of what they call initiation.
But
it's
amazing.
Things you do to get on air.
Are they suggesting Alan Jones might be going to prison?
Yes.
Like
possible jail term after he's found to have broken the law that prohibits the naming of juvenile witnesses in court cases.
What did you say, Eddie? Probably be looking forward to a bit of prison time. Showing up at work in the costume with the arrows on it that he's made himself. I'm ready. Yeah. Waving the flag for the prison system. Okay, so what was the biggest controversy you were in? Like in the women's mags, did you ever cop it from them?
I did actually. And
did you?
Come on, out with it.
I did this
photo baby bump.
I did this photo shoot.
Yeah. Photo shoot, yeah.
With the guy that I was on Home and Away with.
Yes.
And it looked like I was naked, but I wasn't. Totally was not. And the photographer was an absolute sleaze. And he ended up selling the photos to the to a UK mag for 80 grand per photo.
But what do you mean it would look like you were naked?
Well, it was, you know, the arty cover up the bits here and there and did make it look.
Were they sort of adjusting it with Photoshop?
Yes, totally adjusted.
Is that right? Totally adjusted?
My mum saw them and said, we're burning those photos right now, right here.
Wow.
So she literally took them over to the sink and burnt them.
Right.
But he'd made copies and he sold them in the UK.
Yeah, obviously she'd have to go down to the newsagents with a flamethrower to really do that job properly.
Wow, we've not had any of that kind of stuff.
$1,000 a photo.
Mm. Let's get some going. You know, the four of us. That's, you know, obviously tasteful. We can make some real money, guys.
But you don't.
How much will we get a photo?
What do you put down as tasteful?
Well.
Well, it could be just this. You could just lean backwards so that your stomach's sticking out slightly. And then baby bump.
Ah, there it is.
Giselle's baby bump. Look at that. Is that a baby bump?
Well,
it's just a dress bump, isn't it?
It's a sandwich bump. She had something to eat.
80,000.
No, it's great, the women's bags. Have a look at this for a classy headline in the New Weekly this week. Misha's boozy spew.
Oh.
Like she hasn't done that before. Oh.
Misha Barton has thrown up in the street. It's made international news.
Tonsil insiders say. Yeah.
It was a very classy spew, though. It was in autumn colours.
Dior has commissioned it as a new spray. Oda Street.
Sorry about this, Kathy. We've dragged you down to our level.
Well, Dior are about to do their new runway show, and they're using the Great Wall of China.
Oh, really? It's about time for somebody found a use for it.
It's going to take ages. How is a model going to cross the Great Wall of China when they don't eat? They've got various substances up their nose and butt or wherever.
Really?
Are they going to walk the Great Wall?
The entire length before you get to do that little turn and the surly look backwards.
It's a long one.
It's exhausting.
Passed out.
Okay, look, we want to talk about, you mentioned Home and Away. You were on that. You were also on Neighbours.
Did the double.
We want to get some. Whammy. You weren't the same character. You didn't do the Earth 2 crossover.
No, I died in one.
Okay, well, we're looking for new plot lines for them. It's part of our ongoing good works here at Get This. That's Tom Petty freeballing here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. Thank you, Damien, for reminding me of the correct title of that song. Kathy Gobbold is with us.
Hello.
She's done a fair bit of telly, and we're looking for somebody who's done some telly so we can try out our dopey plot suggestions.
Please do.
But just going through the back catalogue, you were in that movie we've talked about a few times, Blonde, the Marilyn Monroe story.
Oh.
You know, I had two lines.
Oh, look, this is more than most.
And Poppy Montgomery.
Yeah, she was Marilyn.
During the scene, she just had enough, and she put her hand up to the director and said, "Talk to the hand, because the face ain't listening."
Oh, she didn't.
I'm
did
like,
she?
Oh really? No, this is straight from a film. How could you behave this way?
Wow.
You lucky girl, you've got this great movie, and she seriously said that line that you. Hear out of, you know,
well,
comedy sort of sketches, but she said that.
You say you've only got two lines, but it is, if you ever see that on Foxtel, it's huge name Aussie actors just coming in and saying, 2 minutes, Miss Monroe. That's all they do. They've got less to do than Tom Long and that Bradley John Murdoch the other day. But they're great, those ones where it's filmed in, you know, like Australia and pretending it's Beverly Hills. Can't get enough of that.
Yeah.
Where they'll just cut from some palm trees to a gloomy rainscape. Okay, you were in that.
Yep.
What about The King, this new thing with Stephen Curry as Graham Kennedy, The King, of course. You are?
I actually play my own mother because she was the one that Graham Kennedy said the F word to. He did what was called at the time the bird call.
Yes.
Yeah. So my mum was on IMT.
Rosemary Morgan.
Yes, Rosemary Morgan. So I guess the easiest person to cast was her daughter.
Yeah.
So it was pretty freaky dressing as my mum and the wig and the...
Family members seen the footage yet? And
No, they haven't. I just hope they like it. But
here's where I remember Rosemary Morgan from. You go to the movies, the slides. You know the slides.
Yeah.
Come to Jim's Hardware.
In her voice.
She did a lot of those. Thinking about carpet? Of course you are.
Always delicious photographs of bolognese in those ads.
Jesus.
She was the Tarnoff lady. I don't know if you remember
Tarnoff. Yeah.
What's Tarnoff?
Tarnoff. Yeah, I remember that ad.
What's Tarnoff?
Got rid of all the splotchiness on silver.
Yeah.
That's what she's known as.
That was a big ad.
Still say.
The Tarnoff lady.
Tarnoff.
I love those. Do they still have the slides at the cinema? They do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very early on, you've literally got to sit through one session and just hang around for 40 minutes till the next one starts. At the very start, they'll crank on.
Slick, though. They've sort of done it on a computer now. I liked it when they would sort of judder across and the voiceover would be struggling to keep
up. It's a guy with a screen just pushing them on, dragging them off.
Mostly for food court restaurants with fake marble tables.
Oh, my kind of place.
Okay, so the king. I mean, did you do any scenes with Curry as Kennedy? What's it looking like?
The two of us, and I thought, oh God, he's so yummy.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
You know, offset.
Now we're
I'm
getting
just
somewhere.
Like, oh, you're so hot.
Yeah.
And then there was a rap party, and he turned up with this exotic looking, just supermodel, divine, plus actually nice, and had a brain.
Really?
Yeah. Was his girlfriend for like 7 years.
Oh, so he claims.
Was not happy.
Founder and showcast would be my guess. Sorry, Stephen.
Not happy.
Hey, speaking of, you know, hot and fruity, weren't you in Chances? You were.
Well, I suppose I was only 16 at the time.
Oh, okay.
So, you
know, that's the end of that chat.
All right,
we don't want to head into Alan Jones territory.
I've just never seen so much ass in my life.
Until you came in here.
Yeah. You should have been here earlier.
Right. You know what I love? I have to say this. It's the Brown album, which you did.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we did.
Now, how many years ago was that?
It was 12 years ago. Me and Mick Malloy did the Brown album. And a year later, Primus did the Brown album. Yeah.
But the best fart jokes in Australia, perhaps in the world.
Well, we aim for,
you're a genius.
We've got high standards. When it comes to fart jokes, we expect nothing but top quality gear.
So if you can get it, go out and buy the Brown album.
Barjas is now on YouTube because the ABC refused to release it. So the nerds, God bless them, have gone, well, we'll just put it up for free. So if you've never seen Barjas, lower your standards a tad and get onto YouTube. Yep. All 10 episodes up there. hey, we're not talking about things that I've done.
Why?
We're here to bag you out.
Okay, go the bag.
We're talking about Neighbours and Home and Away. Always looking for new ideas for these shows. Are you saying that some of them are in ratings trouble? Don't say anything that's going to get us into trouble, Richard.
No, it was an
one
article. Is it Neighbours and they're throwing lesbian kisses? Yes. And a lot of big plot twists and
Neighbours is in trouble.
Things aren't going well at Erinsborough.
But if they put me in it, it'd be fine.
There you go.
Okay, well, there's the first idea.
What do you think, Kathy? What kind of character are you thinking?
Oh, look. I haven't got that far.
Well, we've got a bit of Wolf Mother for you to work that out. And we'll be back with new ideas for the soaps on Get This. Thank you, Wolf Mother, here at Get This, Joker and the Thief on Triple M Around the Nation. Kathy Gobbold is with us. She's been in Neighbours. She's been in Home and Away. Just tell us, who were your characters again?
Oh, God, we're going back 15 years.
That's all right. We go back further than that on this show.
Home and Away, I played a girl who died of leukemia on the beach.
Yeah, all right, we can cross that plot
that
line
Meg.
Off.
Yes, cross that one
don't
off.
Don't we need that one again? That's bringing everyone down.
Oh, it's the highest rating storyline of Home and Away ever. Yeah,
it's a great idea. There should be more of it.
What was it?
No,
what?
They have. They've copied the bloody cancer storyline in every show since.
Yeah, they really.
Yeah, you started it, right?
Yeah. And did you come back, though? Were you someone
who's... I was a ghost. Seriously.
Okay. Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious because the ratings were so good. They thought, well, we'd like to bring it back. So for a couple of eps, I was a ghost.
Now, how were the effects done?
So much fun.
What was it, just a sheet over you or
yeah,
CGI?
The eyes cut out. No, I was just me. But, you know, people were talking to me who were going slightly insane and thinking
music underneath?
And,
like creepy music underneath?
Yeah, of course. It was so much fun.
All right. Okay, that's and on Neighbours, what did they have you doing on that?
Neighbours was only a couple of weeks and... basically played a slut.
Oh, slut.
Yes, tried to take all the men away from the, nice, innocent girl.
How did you go?
Not too good.
Who'd you score with on the show?
A guy at the time called Darren.
Oh, Darren.
Is that Michelson's?
No.
Blonde one?
No, he's long since moved into ghost status, that actor. okay, so there's that. And then Chances. What was your plot line on Chances? Were you a victim of the vampire?
Yes, I was, actually.
Really?
That was my very final scene.
Wasn't that Mark Neal, the comedian Mark Neal?
No, it actually was played by Jeremy Sims.
Oh, and then the buttocks!
I think it, the butt man.
Yeah.
Nice ass.
That was his catchphrase.
Yeah, nice ass.
Just look blue stealing himself in the mirror, going nice ass.
But they got rid of me because, well, they called me into the office and said, we'd like to sign you for a whole new new series and actually a whole new year, but we'd like you to have a nudity clause. Like, I'm 16, I have no boobs, I have no nothing. What are you going to show me doing?
We can drop them in later. Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah, so I sort of said, no, thank you.
Okay, so slut in one, dead in another, refusing to be nude in the third.
Oh, and two different storylines on Blue Heelers.
Oh, yes.
As a different prostitute.
It's so a different prostitute. How did you delineate between the two?
Well, talent, baby. You know, I did my homework.
All right, these are great. So these are the elements of new plot lines. Richard claims Neighbours struggling a bit in the ratings.
Well, I mean, it's not me claiming. I mean, the numbers bear me out. It's in the news.
Yeah, when they call, we'll say
it was in the paper yesterday.
Okay, fair enough. So they're looking for new ideas.
So now I've just had a look on some of the old websites here. Now have a listen to this. This is one that we didn't have anymore. Kerry Bishop, pregnant with Joe Mangle's child, wades into the wetlands to protest at the opening of another duck hunting season. She gets shot by a stray hunter's bullet.
Of course she does.
That's excellent.
Okay.
Wetland shootings.
Wetland shootings. Cross that one off the list.
Now, Greg Fleet killed Daphne.
Yeah, that's right.
With a brick.
Well, he claims it was a house brick, but Richard thinks he ran her down.
I'm not sure.
Either way, she was dead.
Okay. There was some sort of car accident, wasn't there?
So I wanted her hairdo so bad.
So did Greg.
So what?
Hence the carnage.
So what I'm thinking is that every couple of episodes, let's say Neighbours, if the ratings are down a little bit, Fleet just wanders past in the background holding a brick.
Oh yes,
he could go. He could go at any minute at anybody, and it's riveting watching. You don't know who Greg's going to throw it at.
He's just looming, like sort of death in the background,
holding a brick.
Yeah. All right, these are ideas. We're not just looking for new ideas. Perhaps what we're really looking for is old ideas that have worked in the past that we can revive.
Classics.
Your top three storylines to guarantee viewers. This is a fact.
Yep.
Is it death?
Death.
Birth or a marriage?
Death, birth, marriage. Yeah.
Original,
the same
original
day.
Yeah. What about it was all a dream, like that series of Dallas? The whole thing turned out to be a dream.
That was great.
Wasn't there a series of The Dukes of Hazzard where they subbed in two different blokes?
Yes.
The cousins?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's
remember
very
that? Because the two guys were off having music careers?
Yes.
That's right.
That's a good one.
The Brady Bunch, they spent a whole episode with the next door neighbours who you'd never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what Angelina Jolie's trying to do, like a Brady Bunch kind of.
Yeah.
Start up a whole new Brady Bunch thing by adopting
more
children.
Other plot lines that could come back. My wife watches EastEnders, and every now and then they'll just go to Spain. They'll just go to Spain, and it'll be Carry On Abroad for 6 or 7 shows in a row.
Fantastic.
Other plot lines that should come back. Richard.
Well, you know what is a nice device that they're using nowadays? And I'm a big fan of Love My Way. I had its finale last night on Foxtel. A lot of things on that show happen off screen. So characters get married, other things are revealed, but you never actually see it happen.
Right.
You just find out about it 3 episodes later. It's really intriguing. It keeps you interested.
Wow.
Yeah. That's an interesting
idea.
What
about Fun Park Accident?
Yeah.
Have we seen one of those for a while?
CSI did one, though.
Did
but
they?
But then that's not a soap.
That's
serious
drama.
Was it serious?
David Caruso take his sunglasses off?
No, well.
Was it that
That
serious?
Never happens. Well, he originally just did that as a joke.
Did he?
In the first episode.
Well, acting.
To crack, that too. Just to crack everyone up.
Oh, really?
And he kept it in. Because, right?
He's all about the yucks.
You can't take off sunglasses since Robert Stack in Airplane Stroke Flying High. Another pair underneath. Greatest gag in the history of cinema. All right. Old ideas, plot lines from the past that we should bring back to help the flagging fortunes of our soap operas.
Great.
It's as simple as that. 133353.
Get this.
If it was turned into calamari, the rings would be the size of tractor tyres.
Brought to you by Heidi, the happy truckie, who promises free beer for all. Not for me, thanks, Heidi. I'm already shit-faced.
13, 1253.
Hey, it's
Energex
Get This.
Power line
it's
patrol.
Around the nation.
Safe and reliable
power. Kathy Gobbold is here. She was in Neighbours. She was in Home and Away. She's ready to judge your suggestions for new plot lines that could revive the fortunes of the show.
Flagging fortunes. Now, I just need to say quickly thank you to Chris. Thank you to Aaron, who called in, and another person who called in to say that Harold Bishop should jump the shark Fonzie style, literally, on a motorbike. There's a shark in the Lassiter's Pond, and he jumps it on a motorcycle. Touche. But firstly, we're going to go to John. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Excellent. What do they need?
I think maybe Toadie could find, like, an alien spaceship that has a special suit in the Greatest American Hero style.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And they could bring it on next month to tie it in with Cape Look as a costume. Oh.
This bloke is thinking.
John, get yourself down here. We have an ideas tank we need to throw you into. Tell me something. John, what kind of powers does he get?
Flying.
Power of acting?
He can't use it.
Oh, that's good. Super strength, but he can't use it. I love the drama, John.
You remember in The Greatest American Hero, he didn't know how to fly the thing properly. Yes. He was always crashing.
That was good.
That was fantastic.
Great theme music. Believe
I think neighbours might hire you.
Yeah,
Toadie doing that song.
John, you're a genius.
Better not, Toadie's walking on it. Could work.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent, sir. What do they need?
I think we've all had enough of Sally on Home and Away.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She's fair the enough. Nicest person. In, oh.
So what do you? So what should happen?
Molly style from A Country Practice. We need to fade away when she's lying on the couch.
Yeah.
Oh, then
I've done that.
Did you have the single candle when you died? That was what they always had when...
And James, are you thinking bring her back as a ghost for a while or just get rid of her all completely?
I think we just need to let her go once and for all.
Is that right, James? Yeah. Put her out to pasture.
Yeah. She's done, I think. Her goose is cooked.
She's done.
James. But he's got to fade away on the couch. I mean, has anyone ever been burned at the stake on these shows?
Accused of witchcraft.
There needs to be more witch burnings than this.
Mrs. Mangle went close. Hello, Aaron. How are you?
Hi, how you going?
Yours is wonderfully obscure. Talk us through it, sir.
It's got Taking a Leaf Out of Chance's book.
Yeah.
And they had a classic plotline which involved Eva Braun's necklace, mummies and Nazis.
That's right. And if you put the necklace on, didn't you turn into Eva Braun or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. She's like some ancient pharaoh that she would possess you.
Yeah. So you're saying, so who needs it? Which show do you think you bring the necklace in?
Well, Neighbours is always good. I mean, you can always ask Harold.
Yeah. Oh, we reckon Harold.
Was it right wing tendencies?
And mummies? We're getting mummies in there now.
Mummies, zombies? Why not? Maybe a secret Nazi bunker underneath Ramsey Street.
Okay. How about this, Aaron? How about Harold puts on the necklace? Right. God knows. I don't know how that's going to happen, but anyway. But Harold puts on a necklace, maybe for a fancy dress party. All of the dead neighbours that have passed away rise up zombie style and try and eat the current cast.
Yeah, and you can also get a sort of Frankenfurter thing going with Harold.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of ideas. People are very keen to get Harold into women's clothing. Have you noticed that? Don't know what that is.
Bad idea.
Touché, Aaron. Hello, Cam. How are you? Cam, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
Nice. Hello, sir. What are we going to do? What do they need?
I reckon they should mix Fawlty Towers with Home and Away.
That's an excellent idea. How would you do that?
I reckon get an old building that's somewhere near the school and get the Fawlties and Manuel into that.
Oh, yeah. Now, is Alf still on Home and Away?
He is.
He hasn't been zombified yet?
Nah.
Flaming hell no.
So would he be lashing his own car with a tree trunk or trying to smuggle a dead body out of the hotel?
I like that for Alf. I like it.
I don't know, but can you imagine the havoc that Manuel could wreak at bloody Summer Bay High School?
That is great. Manuel becomes principal of Summer Bay High School.
Vote for Manuel.
You are talking sense.
Too many good ideas. We'll get to some more in just a moment.
Please hold on.
Hump to bump. That'd be the Chili Peppers, a new direction for them here at Triple M. Let's get this. Kathy Godbolder's here. New ideas for Neighbours and Home and Away. Please, listeners, who have we got, Ed?
Hello, Rob. Rob, please. Are you there?
Rob. I'm begging you, Rob, please.
Maybe we can come back to him.
Okay, we'll come back to you, Rob. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good morning, good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah, that's how late we're running. Well done.
Good on you, boys. Listen, I put a fair bit of thought into this.
Good.
And I apologise because I know that clearly that's not what the show's all about.
No, that's right.
Nice.
But listen, I thought we could have a big cage match, a la wrestling, Ultimate Fighting Championship, the cast of Home and Away, v the cast of Neighbours on Channel 9.
Oh, yes. MC. Oh, last character standing.
Oh, I'm just trying to think, you get Alf Stewart, he can be fighting against Harold, and it'll be like, whack, take that, you flaming puff. And then Harold goes, I don't think that's quite appropriate behaviour, do you?
Good dialogue.
It's great. Yeah, get yourself
really
down the ideas.
Idea.
Steve, spot on. That's exactly what we're
voice.
That's exactly what we're thinking. And the last character standing starts their own spin-off. You know what I'm saying? Where they're like the mayor of both wherever, whatever, Summer Bay and Erinsborough. And they can start, you know, like a Soprano style.
Yeah.
They can start kind of build it up from scratch.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
This is good stuff, Steve. Thank you, sir.
A few more whackings in the show, a bit more violence. Were you ever involved in a fight on either of those shows, Kathy?
No, I haven't been lucky enough. I am looking forward to maybe getting a job and then...
Yeah,
just
maybe
putting
that
ghost could fight some ass.
That ghost could come back, be involved in a fight.
Throw a punch. Hello there. Now, hello, who's this?
Tony.
Tony, how are you, sir? What do you think? What's going to happen? What do we need?
Mate, I reckon they should replace Alf off Home and Away with Alf, the little alien.
The alien from Melmac.
The alien from Melmac with
that's
a turd for a nose. if you remember.
I'm starting to have a heart attack.
That's great.
And, well done.
Still got some extras in the background, that bloke.
Oh, that's a classic.
There's probably not much else to say about that apart from spot on.
Yeah, let's get Alf back on screen.
Brett, how are you?
Yeah, g'day guys, how you doing?
Excellent, what do we need?
I was thinking when the Simpsons are struggling for ideas, they always take off other shows.
Yeah.
So Neighbours could take off the Simpsons.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, what sort of parallels can you envisage there?
Well, you've got Lester's could be turned into Mo's Tavern.
Good.
You've got Erinsborough High could turn into Springfield Elementary.
Good.
Yep.
Dr. Hibbert.
Good. This is starting. It's all starting to make sense.
Yeah. Yes. I think Harold could be Flanders with his goody two shoes though.
Very good. Who's going to play Disco Stew?
Tony.
I was thinking Tony could be the fat comic book guy.
That's good. Yeah.
Is there anyone with just one leg in The Simpsons? You've got the Vietnam vet bloke.
No. The sea captain.
Oh, the sea captain.
Yeah, Paul Robinson is the sea captain.
I wonder how he does that. That's such good acting.
Well, have you seen it? What sort of effects are they employing? Always on a couch with a hole drilled in it?
I've never met him. I would say he does what I went into the Saddle Club and one of the girls... had to do that limp, and she just put stones.
Stones in her shoes.
Okay.
So she'd be in constant pain.
Method, I like it.
Method acting.
Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. How was that guy Rob, eh? This man's a dentist, so we can't put his call to air.
look, everyone's working today. I like it.
Ralph.
Good on you. What's your suggestion, Ralph?
Well, I reckon tried and true, mate. Go the old bomb in the delicatessen job.
Bomb in the deli.
Now, who's going to plant it? I'm thinking, obviously, Greg Fleet's going to plant it. Now, which deli are we thinking? The one we're talking, Erinsborough or Summer Bay here?
Well, I reckon we could do a similar plot line, you know, like one in each show.
Multiple bombs. I love that, Ralph.
Yeah.
And so it's obviously going to be Fleet that's up to it. But why would he thinking? Why is it happening?
Well, it is.
Well, you could just imagine Alf, couldn't you? Ah, bomb the flaming deli, would you?
And this usually happens because a number of actors start making pay claims. Is that right, Kathy?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So usually when the actors want to raise, somebody will walk past the props department and see somebody painting a cardboard bomb up with wires sticking out. Can't tell you what this is for. Everyone will be dying in order of least hotness.
You just look up on the call sheet for the next week and you go, I'm not on it.
Haven't we got time for one final suggestion, Ed?
How are you, Sean?
How are you, guys?
What's going on? What do we need?
Mate, I've come to the conclusion there's not enough violence and not enough gore on it on either show.
Fair enough.
So remember that old horror movie Hellraiser?
Yes.
The bloke that plays Pinhead, he could go on either one of the shows and just tear the place apart.
Yeah. But let's let loose Pinhead.
But maybe Pinhead could be the hot new love interest first. Yeah. So for the first few weeks, Pinhead's just making out with people at the beach.
Yeah, it's very painful, obviously.
Yeah, but good TV. And then he snaps. Yeah. You know what I mean? Someone beats him in a surf life-saving race in Summer Bay, perhaps.
Yep.
Perhaps Paul Robinson plays a dirty trick on him in Erinsborough, and then he snaps.
Might get a dodgy coffee from the cafe or something like that.
Dodgy coffee from the cafe.
And maybe just sick of people hanging their keys on his face. And after a certain amount of time, he's had enough. Snaps. Great ideas let loose.
pin. I'd like to see Harold in the full pinhead makeup.
Wouldn't that be good?
That's a
good if you idea. Ever saw one or two, anything from that, where they're just all locked up in a dark room, tied together, and they have to saw each other's legs off.
You must have had a fun time working on those shows, Kathy. We'll be back to these are great ideas, as great always, ideas. From our callers. Thanks to everyone who did call in, and even those who didn't make it to air. We'll be back to wind up the show in a moment. I'll get this. Thank you very much, Tal Barkman. Winding up another round of Get This. Thank you very much, Kathy Godbob.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah, thanks for talking rubbish with us for a whole hour.
Hey, I'd do it all day. It's gorgeous.
We've got so many suggestions from our listeners we've got to write down. I reckon we write down all these ideas they're coming up with for Neighbours at Home and Away, and then we just steal them for Passiona High.
That's a good idea.
For our cereal that's hopefully coming back this year.
That'd be great.
And yes, thanks to everyone who called. And I think our key phrase today was that fabulous new prize pack. Oh, I just want to mention the King. Kathy, when is the King on?
It'll be on later this year on Fox. And then probably early next year on Channel 9.
Oh, there we go. That's two for one.
Here we go.
Very nice. Our fabulous prize pack, including
a freshwater crocodile, a python, and several types of lizards.
And we'll be back tomorrow with Ryan Shelton.
Hello.
And it's all thanks to you know who? Nobody.
There's only one thing that really worries me. Loss.